Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 63 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanna Akers.
And I'm Kenzie Thompson.
We will spend over $2.5 million on recreation.
So I believe wholeheartedly in planning and development.
Candidates for Moorhead Mayor spoke during today's New Cities meeting.
A newly awarded grant will replace old climbing bolts at a Round County recreation spot.
A rolling mill in Boyd County has reopened.
Senator Rand Paul is pushing for action against Saudi Arabia.
Governor Matt Bevin says he's going after, quote, whiny liberals.
In sports, Rounds volleyball teams heads to the second round of the regional tournament tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And for the weather, mostly clear tonight with a low around 33 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Candidates for the Moorhead Mayor's race are focused on the community's livability. Incumbent Mayor Jim Tom Trent and challenger Laura White Brown spoke before the New Cities Group today about their goals if elected. Brown says additional recreation opportunities is an important part of her platform.
I think you need to look at the feasibility of, do you build a new park? Do you improve the park that you have, the existing park? It is needed. I think everyone in here can agree on that. I do have grant experience, so I think you look at what options and resources are out there and available. Is there grant money that is out there, and can we incorporate that first?
Trent says the Recreation Board survey showed that people want a new city park.
And that was one of the things that was on some of the top lists. We looked at it at the time up at Sunnybrook, and it wasn't cost effective at the time because of the bridges. We still looked at other places. I'm open to that. I think recreation is a huge plus for a community. I think wellness, so I'm not opposed to it. As far as raising taxes, I think I would put that to a vote by the community.
Both candidates will be answering questions from their community during the Rowan County Candidate Forum on October 23rd at 7 p.m. That event will be broadcast live here on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Local climbing volunteers partnering with the Moorhead Trail Town Task Force have received a grant to replace aging climbing bolts at a local recreation area. The volunteers are working under the direction of Moorhead Tourism and received the $1,000 grant to replace the outdated bolts at the Slab Camp area of Round County. Joy Brown is the executive director of Moorhead Tourism.
Slab Camp is up on Clack Mountain area. This location has been there, and of course, been there for years, but it was never used after so long. And then these people have always known about it, that there's local climbers, and they just said, you know, let's redo this. And it's a perfect location because it has, 60 routes up there is going to be pretty incredible.
The funds are being provided through Access Fund and American Alpine Club. Brown says the replacements are being done as a safety measure. The bolts in place now are hardware store grade and were installed in the 1990s. For updates on the project, you can follow Moorhead Tourism social media outlets.
A once idle rolling mill in Boyd County has recently been revived. The project came about after Kentucky Electrical Steel closed down and 113 people were laid off. Boyd County Judge Executive Steve Towler says he thinks it'll be a great feat for the community.
The community is going to benefit a lot of ways. Good news for us that will not be a total loss of 100 employees. And of course, my understanding is the new owners are going to give first preference to the laid off, you know, when they close. So that's good news, and I'm glad to hear that.
Towler also thinks it'll benefit the local economy and boost morale in the region.
In Vanceburg, a specialty city council meeting has been called over the annexation of a Veterans of Foreign Wars post. WMKY's Sam Haynes has more.
The Maysville Ledger Independent reports Mayor Matt Ginn stated that an amendment to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Ordinance had to be made so the post could continue legally serving alcohol. This must be done for VFW Post 5438 to become annexed into the city. As the ordinance is written, the amendment allows extended hours on Sundays for alcohol sales from 1 to 10 p.m. This is only allowed for what the ordinance describes as private clubs. According to Ginn, once the VFW post becomes annexed, it will fall under that classification. Second readings for the annexation ordinances and alcoholic beverage control ordinance amendment will be held on Thursday, October 18th. For WMKY, I'm Samuel Haynes.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul continues to push for action against Saudi Arabia after the disappearance and presumed death of a Saudi Arabian journalist. Paul tells the Conservative Review it's time to halt arms sales to the country, a move President Donald Trump has sounded eager to avoid.
I don't know how we can sell arms to a country like Saudi Arabia that really they're the largest state sponsor of radical Islam in the world, and yet we continue to sell them arms. I'm for stopping it.
The senator also penned an op-ed saying everyone is, quote, feigning shock and bewilderment as if we've never before had cause to doubt that the Saudis share American values. Paul went on to say no amount of oil business or arms deals justifies collusion with the regime.
Supporters of the crime victim rights measure known as Marcy's Law are hoping an appeals court will allow the results of the ballot measure to be certified. Kentucky voters will have their say on the statewide ballot question. At issue now is whether those votes will truly count. Judge Thomas Wingate put that matter on hold this week, pending the result of appellate court rulings. Wingate took issue with the phrasing of the ballot question. While the judge agreed with the Kentucky Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers that the question does not spell out enough specifics about the constitutional changes, Marcy's Law for Kentucky attorney Cheryl Snyder tells Wave 3 the judge did not suspect the wording would change the result of the vote.
One of the ironies in the judge's opinion is he said if you put the entire text of the amendment, which is 2 pages long, on the ballot, it would still pass. I hope that irony is seen by the Court of Appeals, that the ballot question here, while it is succinct, does fairly describe the substance of the amendment.
Proponents are hoping for action on an appeal in the coming weeks.
In his latest Twitter video, Governor Matt Bevin is going after, quote, whiny liberals. The governor posted a video on Monday showing him throwing grenades to symbolize blowing up corruption and red tape, among other things. One day later, Bevin posted another video calling out Democrats for criticizing what he considered a lighthearted post. Among the Democrats criticizing Bevin's was State Representative John Yarmuth, of which Bevin had this to say.
Somebody who is part of the party that wastes billions and billions of dollars on a regular basis in Washington, D.C., I would imagine the idea of blowing up red tape and corruption is shocking to him.
Bevin goes on to say those who were upset by him, quote, cleaning up corruption, can expect to be upset for a long time.
With Election Day approaching, citizens of Kentucky may be receiving calls from candidates, political organizations, and now maybe scammers. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
Attorney General Andy Beshear issued a scam alert Wednesday to help the residents of Kentucky avoid giving their personal information over the phone to a scammer who claims they can help register them to vote. According to Beshear, the National Association of State Election Directors issued a warning after voters in Mississippi claimed scammers were calling, pretending to be employees of TurboVote. The deadline to register to vote in Kentucky has already passed. Beshear said if residents of Kentucky are receiving these calls, report it to his office via an online form. For your WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
More Kentucky high school students in the class of 2018 have met state college readiness benchmarks as measured by the ACT. The Kentucky Department of Education announced today that 57% of 2018 graduates met the benchmark in English, compared with 56% in 2017. It said 44% met the benchmark in math, compared with 42% the year before, and in reading, 53% met the benchmark, compared with 51% the previous year. The benchmark represents minimum scores required to graduate to rather guarantee students entry into credit-bearing courses at Kentucky colleges and universities without needing additional work. Kentucky Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis said he's pleased with the progress, but said the results show significant disparities among students by race and ethnicity. He said the state must prioritize eliminating those disparities. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships, day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
A Boyd County man has been indicted after his mother died in a house fire. WKYT reports the incident happened back on September 6th when 34-year-old Christopher Childers allegedly set fire to his mother's house. The coroner found the body of 62-year-old Ruby Childers inside the home afterwards. Childers is charged with first-degree arson. He is currently lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center on a $100,000 bond.
Police in Mount Sterling are investigating an assault that sent a man to the hospital last night. According to WKYT, the victim drove himself to a local hospital after saying he was stabbed in the Dairy Queen parking lot. The victim was then transported to the University of Kentucky Chandler Hospital. The seriousness of the man's condition and details about the possible suspect have not yet been released.
A case of hepatitis A has been confirmed at the Pike County Detention Center. Jailer Brian Morris said the man has been medically quarantined. According to WYMT, all inmates who have been in contact with the infected inmate are being tested and will be vaccinated. According to Morris, the detention center has taken measures to prevent Hep A in the last few months by suspending all of their outside food deliveries and taking extra measures to keep the facility clean.
A case of a polio-like virus has been confirmed in Kentucky. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there's 127 possible cases of acute flaccid myelitis, and as now, 62 of them have been confirmed across the country. Health experts say symptoms are similar to the flu, and it's most common in children. According to LAX 18, the CDC is still researching what causes the paralyzing condition of the virus, but they do know that the paralyzing conditions are rare. In the last 10 years, no children have died from AFM. While there is no specific treatment for the virus, doctors say you can prevent it using the same steps to prevent the flu, such as washing hands with warm soapy water for 20 seconds, avoiding people who are sick, and taking respiratory precautions.
Lexington officials say recyclable materials are winding up in the landfill due to an equipment malfunction at the city's recycling plant. Officials tell WLEX-TV the plant's baler is broken and the city has nowhere else to store recyclables, meaning all those plastic bottles and aluminum cans are landing in the dump. That's left residents like Mary Green, who spoke with the station, frustrated.
It is disappointing because I got out in the rain today and loaded up and brought it over here.
City workers say they're waiting for repairs and until the recyclables will end up in the same spot as non-recyclables. Officials are not sure when the baler will be fixed.
Items that once belonged to Kentucky Fried Chicken's founder are coming up for auction next month. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
The items were gifted to Dick Miller, a previous driver for Sanders and his wife Claudia. Also a family friend, Miller stayed to help Claudia and the family after Sanders' death in 1980. Dick Miller says he's auctioning the memorabilia so that the items will be better appreciated. Items include one of Sanders' white suits and a matching Stetson hat, a wristwatch, the Sanders' driver's licenses, and credit cards, as well as an inscribed belt buckle. The live auction will be November 3rd at Heritage Auctions Entertainment and Music Memorabilia Auction with internet bidding available. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast. Tonight, mostly clear skies with a low around 33 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny skies with a high near 53. On Thursday night, clear skies with a low around 33. On Friday, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 3 p.m., with a high near 59 degrees. On Friday night, showers with a low around 49. On Saturday, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 9 a.m., and a high near 57. On Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 37, and on Sunday, sunny with a high near 49. Right now, it is 61 degrees in Flemingsburg, 62 degrees in Maysville and Mount Sterling, 64 in Ashland and Grayson, 65 in Inez, and 63 degrees in Lexington and Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, Moorhead State University has a new star player, but he doesn't play football or basketball. WMKY's Samuel Haynes introduces an unlikely but very impressive champion.
I just recently turned 19. I'm 5'5", and I only weigh about 130 pounds, and I'm a sophomore in college. I like mostly fighting games and things like that, but sometimes I like first-person shooters or anything of that nature.
That's Chris Thompson, a sophomore here at MSU.
Chris plays a game called Super Smash Brothers, but at a much more competitive level than most. He believes that the best way to learn how to play is to watch others, much like with sports. This is exactly what he did.
First, I watched videos of, like, Super Smash Bros. Online, and they were, like, all competitive and stuff like that, and I figured that I wanted to be a part of the community.
Recently, the MSU Gaming Club hosted a tournament, and Chris was one of many contestants vying for the cash prize in the Super Smash Bros. For Wii U category.
There were a lot more people there than I thought were going to be there, because we thought there were only going to be like 10 people or something. It was closer to 20, it was 19 people there. I mean, I pretty much wiped the floor with most people, but there was one person in particular that was quite a challenge for me.
Chris did exceptionally well, beating the other competitors with an ease that blew the other challengers away. Using the popular character Captain Falcon, Chris encountered very little resistance up until the final battle. It seemed he had met his match when he was faced against a student who used the character Rob the Robot, a character that is low tier, or not considered very powerful by the Smash Bros. Community. However, this student performed surprisingly well, even with the supposed handicap of a low tier character. In the end, Chris managed to snatch victory from the jaws of uncertainty, winning 3-1 in a best 3 out of 5 match. Finally, Chris gave some advice to those who may be interested in participating in competitive gaming, but are concerned about balancing it with their school life.
Well, I mean, obviously the first focus would be to, you know, focus on studies. School comes first, you know, yada yada. But whenever you have free time, like there's no exam to study for and you got nothing to do, then what else better to do than to practice for competitive games and things like that?
For WMKY, this is Samuel Haynes.
It's 4:47 and 63 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
It's high school volleyball tournament action tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Rowan County Volleyball Vikings are preparing to take on Russell in the 16th region semifinal action tonight at Fairview. The Vikings are currently 25-12 on the season going into tonight's game. They are currently on a 4-game winning streak. The last match the Vikings lost was at home over 2 weeks ago against Russell. Rowan coach Steve Walters says that the fact that the two teams are meeting again in the semifinals was a game of chance.
I mean, it's luck of the draw that we have to meet in a semifinal. But, you know, they beat us on our home court down here. And, you know, like, first time that we'd lost a home game in, like, 2 years, we were a little shorthanded, so we got a little bit different look. But if we don't come out and play better than we started last night, it could be a very short night. They're very capable.
Tonight's game starts at 7:30. MSU soccer forward McKenna Lavortori has been voted OVC Defensive Player of the Week. The senior defender from Amelia, Ohio, led her squad to a perfect 2-0 weekend. The Eagles took down Tennessee Tech, with Lavortori scoring the game-winning goal in the 83rd minute. Head coach Warren Lipka says the OVC nod was a long time coming.
Well, we've nominated her many, many times, and times where we feel that she deserved that throughout her career. Maybe she didn't get a goal or she didn't get an assist. And I think that made the difference for her. This one is getting that game-winning goal for her. First game-winning goal and, you know, Player of the Week honors all on her senior weekend. So I think that was kind of coming.
The award marks the first time LaVittori has received the Player of the Week honor from the OVC. Her and the Eagles will be back in action Friday when they head to Murray State for a 5 o'clock matchup. The Round County Football Vikings are preparing to play their last regular season game of the year as they travel to take on East Carter on Friday. The Vikings are currently 5-4 on the year, whereas East Carter is 4-4. Head coach Kelly Ford says that East Carter has always been a very tough opponent and that Friday will be no different.
I mean, every year we've played them and it's been a knockout, drag out. I wouldn't expect anything any worse than going in this game. I mean, Boyd County played them to a 14-12 game tonight. So, you know, us three teams have been battle for the last few years. And
Coach Ford also says that he expects it to be a very close game. Kickoff on Friday is set for 7:30. The Morehead State University football Eagles are preparing to take on Valpo at home this weekend for homecoming action. The 2-4 Eagles are 4-1 against Valpo over the last 5 years. The Eagles are coming off a 35-28 victory over Davidson, and Coach Rob Tenier says that part of the success from that game comes from the fact that the defense was hot.
Yeah, guys played really good, played good football. We were really into it today. We had a lot of energy, and, you know, I told the guys at the game, this way it's got to be, man. It's got to be all the time, you know. And
500-some yards a game, I mean, you know, it's a pretty good day, you know, to prepare for that, which we don't see that stuff ever.
Homecoming action kicks off at 2:05 on Saturday. After a week of rest, the Kentucky football Wildcats are back in action this week when they host Vanderbilt. The Cats are 5-1 overall and 3-1 in the SEC, with their only loss being to Texas A&M in overtime. Now head coach Mark Stoops says his guys won't be underestimating the 3-4 Commodores.
Well, Vandy is a team that is very well coached. You know, I really have a lot of respect for Derek in what he does and how he coaches. And you see the team that's very hungry. That plays very hard.
Kickoff is at 7:30 Saturday night at Kroger Field. Coach Matt Nagy said today that the Chicago Bears star pass rusher Khalil Mack is day-to-day because of an ankle injury. Mack was hurt early in last week's overtime loss at Miami, and his 2018 streak of at least one sack and one forced fumble in each game ended. Miami Dolphins cornerback Ryan Tannehill was on the field in shoulder pads, but not throwing at the start of the team's first practice this week. He is nursing a sore throwing shoulder and missed Sunday's win over the Chicago Bears. Coach Adam Gase has said his status is day-to-day. Brock Osweiler threw for a career-high 380 yards as Tannehill's replacement. Miami plays Detroit Lions on Sunday. And Wembley Stadium is staying in the hands of English soccer. American sports magnate and Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan abandoned a $790 million offer for the English Football Association's main asset today after recognizing the extent of the opposition to the sale. Kentucky is once again the preseason favorite to win the SEC men's basketball title. The Wildcats were picked to win in a poll of SEC and national media members who named Tennessee forward Grant Williams as the SEC preseason player of the year. Williams was the SEC coach's choice as player of the year last season. Tennessee is picked to finish second. Kentucky and Tennessee are followed in order by Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, LSU, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Arkansas, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Mississippi. Arkansas's Daniel Gafford, Kentucky's Reed Travis, LSU's Tremont Walters, and South Carolina's Chris Silva join Williams as preseason first-team all-SEC picks. And lastly in sports, the MLB League Championship Series is resuming action this afternoon. The Red Sox led their series over the Astros 2-1 after their 8-2 victory last night. The Dodgers-Brewers series is tied at 2-2 after L.A. picked up the win in extra innings last night 2-1. L.A. third baseman Manny Machado told ESPN after the game he hopes the guys can keep it going today.
Hopefully it gives us the momentum that we need. You know, obviously it's you know, we battled our game. You know, we stick together. We had some great at-bats. We couldn't get that big key hit. So hopefully tomorrow, you know, we can stay in it. Just stay focused. Just keep doing what we've been doing and, you know, hopefully things turn around.
The Dodgers and Brewers are set to play at 5:05 in L.A. The Red Sox and Astros will play at 8:39 in Houston. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State University celebrates homecoming this week, and football hosts Valparaiso at 2:05 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average fell in volatile trading after a summary of the Federal Reserve's most recent meeting showed the central bank was leaning toward more rate hikes moving forward. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 91.74 at 25,706.68. The S&P 500 was only down 0.71 at 2809.21. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 2.79 at 7642.70. So the broader market was stronger than the Dow Industrial Average. And the major averages all closed well off of their session lows, as at one point the Dow fell as much as 320 points. According to the minutes from the Fed's September meeting, the central bank remains convinced it needs to tighten monetary policy to keep the economy from overheating, and the 10-year Treasury note yield was up today as a result of those Fed notes, with it trading at 3.19%, and this gave strength to financial stocks, which are considered a beneficiary of higher interest rates, as Goldman Sachs rose 3%. Morgan Stanley gained 2.7%, and Bank of America and J.P. Morgan both rose more than 1%. Netflix posted third-quarter earnings that easily beat expectations. The big beat was driven by stronger-than-expected subscriber growth in both the U.S. and overseas, and its stock was up 5.3%. CSX and Cree also reported better-than-expected earnings yesterday after the close, while M&T Bank and U.S. Bancorp's results also topped estimates before the bell this morning. And on the data front, housing starts fell 5.3% last month, which was more than expected. And this data, coupled with a slew of analyst downgrades and price target cuts in the group, sent housing stocks lower. Home Depot and Lowe's both fell more than 3%, while KB Home and Lennar fell 2.8% and 2.3% respectively. In the commodities markets today, oil was down 2.6%, finishing at $70.05 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,226.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down this morning, with the Stock 600 index down 0.4%. And over in Asia, stocks were actually strong today, with the Nikkei up 1.3% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.6%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Goldman Sachs and Johnson & Johnson, while the worst performers were IBM and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were United Continental and Netflix, while the worst performers were, again, IBM and AutoZone among S&P 500 stocks. IBM was under pressure, of course, because of having a very weak earnings report that came out yesterday after the bell. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 68 cents at 75.64, CSX down $1.49 at 70.71, AK Steel up 7 cents at 4.81, Marathon Petroleum down 92 cents at 79.15, AEP up 2 cents at 71.72, and Fifth Third Bank was up 19 cents to finish at 27.03. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Morehead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Morehead State University, Morehead Conference Center, and St. Clair Healthcare, the City of Morehead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. The City of Morehead can be reached at 606-784-8505. Facebook, and online at morehead-ky.gov.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the student ensembles of the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music will present an evening of music at the Round County Arts Center tonight at 7 p.m. Admission is free and the community is invited.
Make plans to attend homecoming at Morehead State University October 19th and 20th. Activities include the ADUC ribbon cutting ceremony, homecoming celebration awards banquet, parade on Main Street, and Eagle football game. More information at moreheadstate.edu/homecoming.
Now on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is a watercolor splash exhibit featuring more than 40 watercolor paintings. The exhibit is free and open to the public weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. through October 31st. And that's going to do it today for Mountain Edition. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Wyatt Melton, Sam Haynes, Logan Pemberton, Shamari Mosley, Cody Robinson, Chanasty Davis, Chaz Jenkins, Naya Ndweza, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Sean Haynes. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.